From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harrison for Celeste Headley. An Atlanta newspaper investigated thousands of doctors across the country and found a disturbing pattern.
I don't feel like I'm free because at any time, if something happens, I could be taken to that hospital.
How Georgia is responding to doctors who sexually abuse patients is ahead this hour. But first, last week we asked if you want to know what your coworkers get paid.
Personally, I just think it's a weird thing. I would never ask what my coworkers are making. I mean, I as long as I believe I'm making what I'm worth, I think that's the end of the story.
That's Breakdown regular Jessica Salagi. Here are your first thoughts.
Hi, my name is Robert Brutz from Athens, Georgia. As a former school teacher, it helped me a lot to know what other school teachers were paid, whether it be in my district with different experience or at the same level in other districts, and helped me decide where it was I wanted to teach.
My name is Melinda Merritt from Americus, Georgia. You were asking whether or not salary should be disclosed. I say yes, because it does cause problems when people find out they're doing the same thing and not getting paid the same money.
We also want to know what you think. Give us a call at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can post to Facebook, and we might feature your comments on the program. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case against the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, alleging the company discriminates against older workers by not hiring them in the first place. This leaves in place a ruling from Atlanta's 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Here to discuss the ruling and its implications, Paul Chichester, an Atlanta-based employment attorney. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Tony.
Also joining us is Peter Goslin, contributing reporter for ProPublica. And Peter, welcome. Good morning.
Great to be here, Tony.
Before we get started, we should mention that we asked R.J. Reynolds Company for their reaction to this segment, but they, quote, declined to comment on this case at this time. So, Paul, let me start with you. Are you surprised that the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to take up this case?
I'm not surprised. I think after an en banc hearing like the 11th Circuit had, I think the Supreme Court
wanted to... What does that mean, the en banc?
That's right. So after the 11th Circuit created its initial ruling, R.J. Reynolds went back and petitioned the court to hear it with a larger group of judges, basically. So you had more people listening to the arguments, and based on that, you had a more diverse opinion.
And Peter, your thoughts. Were you surprised that the Supreme Court didn't, U.S. Supreme Court didn't take this up?
Actually, I'm not surprised that the high court didn't take it up. There's not yet a clear split between the circuit courts. There's almost certainly going to be one. There's a case out in California that went the other way. That's going up to the circuit. So I think this is going to be brought back to the high court, the Supreme Court.
So there are more cases working through the system that'll bring greater clarity, you think?
Well, I don't know whether they'll bring greater clarity, but they'll bring the issue back to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. You were about to say before I jumped in?
Well, I am surprised by the 11th Circuit majority's ruling in that the decision itself was split all sorts of ways, and in general, both that court and all circuit courts, when the law is confusing, generally defer to the regulating agency, and in this case, it's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And the EEOC has said for the 50 years that the Age Discrimination and Employment Act has been around that it applies both to employees and applicants.
Yeah, and Paul, that seems to be where the discrepancy lies, right? In what the ADEA says and what the EEOC says on this issue.
That's right. So the EEOC is charged basically with interpreting and creating regulations from statutes that Congress writes that aren't usually able to cover as wide of a range of topics as the EEOC and its expertise is able to do. And so what our caller is talking about is basically deference to the regulating agencies. And so that's what the 11th Circuit initially deferred to. And then the 11th Circuit en banc decided, wait a second, let's take another look. No, the statute isn't quite as ambiguous as we thought initially. And that's where that's probably why we're here talking about this right now.
So let's lay a bit of the foundation here. Mr. Villarreal is the man who filed this claim. He's applying for a job at R.J. Reynolds that he clearly felt he was qualified for. He didn't get the job, and he feels it's because of age discrimination. At the time, he's 49 years old. What do you need, Paul? I guess this is a question for you. What do you need to prove in order to bring a successful claim of age discrimination? And that's at the heart of this, at least part of it.
That's right. So what the ADEA allows is basically kind of two parallel avenues towards proving up age discrimination claim. So we'll keep that in this context for now. But either you have intentional discrimination, which we call disparate treatment, where in Mr. Villarreal would have said they intentionally discriminated against me because of my age, and I have to prove that intent. So that's what you're asking. And then what he brought additionally as an employment applicant was what's called a disparate impact case. And that's where typically you have to use statistics to demonstrate that there's a negative impact on your class as, let's say, an older employee.
Yeah. And Peter, when you took a look at this case, what aspects of it did you find interesting?
Well, it was fascinating for a number of reasons. Mr. Villarreal applied, as almost everybody does today, online. Yeah. And if you've ever been looking for a job and applied online, you really don't know a thing about what happens after you push the send button. Villarreal pushed the send button several times and heard nothing and thought nothing of it. That's the way the world works. And in fact, there are loads of surveys that show that. Almost 3 years later, a whistleblower came forward with the statistics that Paul talks about. To my eyes, pretty convincing statistics that the company had told the people sorting the applications coming in online, don't take people over 35 years old.
Oh.
The two amazing things about the case, I think, are that the 11th Circuit majority said, well, wait, Villarreal didn't do anything about to diligently, in the words of the court, pursue his interest in the job or to find an answer to why he'd heard nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it also said that, oh, by the way, the law, which has for 50 years applied to both applicants and employees, doesn't apply to applicants. Both pretty interesting positions.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Paul Chichester, an Atlanta-based employment attorney. Also with us is Peter Goslin, contributing reporter for ProPublica. Do we understand, is it clear to you, Paul, that filing this claim earlier would have had resulted in a different impact, a different outcome for Mr. Villarreal?
That's an interesting question. Probably not the way the 11th Circuit ended up holding and said, hey, you are out of luck completely because you can't bring these claims under the ADEA. So that's the question we're talking about. But what another interesting point is that Peter raises is that to discover this, if it hadn't been for the whistleblower, how would Mr. Villarreal have ever known?
So how do you bring a case against a company that, you know, you're claiming just doesn't hire older workers? That's your claim, a pattern in practice of your company is that you don't hire older workers. How do you do that? You need, as in this case, as Peter just mentioned, a whistleblower, it seems to me, to come forward with evidence, with data.
That's right. Apart from that, you would have to file an EEOC charge against the company. You would have to have some kind of sincere belief that you had been discriminated against. Do your due diligence a little bit, but go to a plaintiff's attorney and then say, hey, I think I may have been, but I can't tell.
And Peter, the larger issue is what's happening with older workers. And we know life tells us that it's getting more. We're an older society and we're changing jobs multiple times in the course of a career. What's happening to older workers in our society right now? And how difficult is it to bring kind of an age discrimination case when that doesn't seem to be the type of case that's getting a lot of attention in our society right now?
Well, let me say a couple things. One is that because jobs are changing, people change jobs a lot.
Yes.
It's important throughout the work life that there be a robust hiring market. And one of the reasons why I've started this beat at ProPublica to look at this issue is that it seems to me that you pass some sort of invisible barrier at age 50, 55, maybe a little later, where the hiring market just doesn't work the same way for older workers that it does than it does for people in their so-called prime years. The Congress and the administration used to take this issue, certainly in the 60s and the 70s, much more seriously, and that's why we have the ADEA. It was treated very much like the Title VII, the laws that apply to race, gender, and other sorts of discrimination. But over the last 25 years, the courts have interpreted the law much, much more narrowly than they do for gender and race. And so it's gotten to do something when you don't get a job or when you are treated poorly in the workplace or when you are laid off is much more difficult.
And I guess we should, for the record here, state what ultimately happened in this case, how the 11th Circuit decided this case, Paul.
Sure. So they basically said, sorry, Mr. Villarreal, your claim that you were discriminated against based on what is called a facially neutral hiring practice, which is a program that's out there that's just sifting through people based on age, you can't bring that under the ADA. You have no right of action.
You have no standing.
You have no standing to be in the court.
And why not?
Because the law doesn't protect you.
As an applicant.
As an applicant, and it's a very narrow carve-out, so that's important.
Yeah. If you were an employee and you made a claim that you were demoted, or you were fired because of your age, then you would have standing and grounds based on this decision to move forward with a lawsuit or a claim of age discrimination?
That's right. Based on your hypothetical, that would probably be more disparate treatment, but we could come up with a hypothetical where it'd be a disparate impact, let's say in a reduction in force type of thing. If you look at certain statistics and all of a sudden more older employees are being cut in a reduction in force, then you might have that disparate impact as an employee claim, which you could still bring under the ADEA.
And Peter, let me give you the last word on this. Where do you see this issue moving? You mentioned at least one case. Are there other cases that are working through the system now that might shine a light or certainly bring this issue back to the forefront of attention?
Yes, there are cases in Illinois, at least Illinois and California. I mean, to Paul's point, and to the majority opinion's point at the 11th Circuit, I mean, the language in the black letter law is confusing, to say the least. What is surprising about this case, and the reason why I think these other cases, this issue is going to come up again and again, is that if you go back and you read the congressional testimony when the ADEA was passed in 1967, it's clear as a light of day that the two concerns that the members of Congress had were that older, capable workers were able to get hired, and that workforces should be age diverse. And the notion that we have a law
and
the purpose of which is age diversity.
Peter, my apologies. We are flat out of time, but thank you both. Paul,
apology.
Peter, thank you. Thank you both for your time on this topic. We're back in a moment. This is On Second Thought.